Ready to relax in your dream bath retreat without the stress of figuring out every detail yourself? At the Home Depot, your bath remodel is covered. Shop fully designed rooms and curated bath collections to go from inspiration to transformation fast. Use digital tools to visualize flooring in your space and find everything you need, from tubs to toilets and all the tile in between, to bring your vision to life. The Home Depot. Dream baths built here.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back. We're better. Let's get it.
Welcome back to Take Command with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. So another of the end of year press conference moments that I found really interesting from Dan Quinn was when he was asked about potentially calling defensive plays again next year. The expectation, certainly the speculation, has been that they're going to go get a grown up stud defensive coordinator. And there are some legit dudes who have become available, by the way. I mean, Jonathan Gannon was fired in Arizona, good D coordinator. Raheem Morris was fired in Atlanta, who you were with in Atlanta and was the assistant head coach to Dan Quinn for years with the Falcons. They know each other very well. You know, he's already available. There are other guys that may or may not come available that were former head coaches, longtime DCs. But I bring this up because when Dan Quinn was asked about it in his year, end of year presser, he was still open to the idea. He said he's keeping an open mind to possibly calling plays. It's not something he did in Atlanta or early on here because I don't think it's his preference. But he said, I'm going to do what the team needs. And the exit interviews essentially are going to inform him on if he thinks that's what he needs to do now. Where do you weigh in on that? Because while their defense got better and I thought he did a really good job, I said earlier in the year, like, I wanted him more involved. His defenses have never been outside of the top five, basically, when he was exclusively a coordinator. And when he's been a head coach, they've never really been better than like 14th. So the more involvement, the better. That said, he did not do a good enough job, in my opinion, with like clock management and timeouts. And that's not all on him, but they were one of the worst in the league at keeping timeouts in the final week of the season. I know it's a third string quarterback. You've got none left with about 11 minutes to go in a close game. So like, I think it is harder to do some of those things when you're also a coordinator. Where are you at on this?
Yeah. I mean, you know, knowing Dan and knowing what he did in Atlanta for the year and a half that I was with him, like, his superpower is the stuff that we've talked about on this show, like his ability to build relationship, build connection, build a culture. And I know that word gets thrown a lot around a lot, but you know, if you haven't been in Dan in a culture built by Dan Quinn, you haven't been in a culture, man. Like, it's a different type of thing. And I think it's a testament. You can see the results of that culture with all the adversity this season underwent and his ability to kind of manage the ship. So now when you talk about defense, like, I think Dan's a hell of a coach, right? He's on the details. He's a good communicator. He's a good teacher. He thinks he tries to improve in that area every single year. And so I just look at the difference between the defense as it was under the previous defensive coordinator and what it is now. And like, I don't have a lot of reason as to why, but it was drastically different and drastically more efficient in terms of getting guys in the right positions and getting them to play good football. So can he bring some of that? And I think about him with more talented pieces, the feel that he has for calling a game. Like, I look back to some of the stuff he did in Dallas. Like, he just has a great feel for some of that stuff. So is he talented? Yes, absolutely. And it really comes down to what he wants to be. Does he want to, again, be the guy that's the culture builder, you know, like kind of the guy at the front of the room? Or does he want to be in the weeds a little bit more? Because like, you mentioned a bunch of defensive coordinators, like Jeff Ulbrich is a guy that his name comes to mind in terms of DC. Like, I think he's an absolute stud. He was a defensive coordinator in Atlanta. And he knows Dan from his time in Atlanta. Like, I was on the staff with both of them.
And just so people know, he was the coordinator in Atlanta under Raheem, and he just likely lost his job with Morris fired. So he might be available too.
Yeah, and I think he's a smart, tough. Like when you talk to him, he's got that like former linebacker mentality. And so like there's plenty of guys that he knows that he feels comfortable with that are like, and so it's not like that he knows, but they're also very, very talented guys. You know, you mentioned Raheem. And so if he wants to get a guy in,
Let me ask you about this guy really quick.
Yep.
A name that keeps popping up, and I've been dismissive of it because I'm like, why would this guy make the linear move? Brian Flores' contract is up. He's going to be interviewing for head coaching jobs. I get so steamed up for Brian Flores. Like, it's like McDonald's sausage, egg and cheese biscuits, and then Brian Flores. Like, that's kind of my list.
That's your bet.
Yeah. I don't know why he would leave Minnesota to do that. Everyone keeps kind of thinking like, well, maybe he just goes somewhere, you get an assistant head coach title. I don't really see that. Would that make any sense to you at all? If he gets shut out from a head coaching standpoint rather than going back to Minnesota?
The fan in me wants that to happen so bad.
Yeah.
I think that defense is absolute nightmare fuel, man. Like right. when I was prepping that week, I was like, I don't know what to do. Like because everything looks like zero. When you're prepping zero rules, it's tough. And then all of a sudden they're dropping in the Tampa 2 invert with a cross dog, and it's just like our protection rules are screwed. And so I want that to happen more than anything. Talk about elevating personnel. Like, I don't know if there's a DC that I've watched this year that elevates personnel better than what he did in Minnesota. So I would absolutely do a backflip if that happened.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app, and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
However, to your point, like, why would I do that? You know what I mean? Like, why would I go completely laterally?
You're going to a building where there's a defensive-minded head coach, yeah, not an offensive-minded. You're going to a building where the talent is worse, where there's like more of a cleanup job to happen on aisle five. It doesn't make sense. But yeah, like, his name, just from fans, gets thrown at me a lot. So it's worth kind of saying, hey, this is a guy that might be available. But I also think there's a better chance he gets a head coaching job. I think so too.
And so there's obviously like he has the, you know, he's suing the NFL. And so like, is he going to get a head coaching job? But wherever he goes, like, he's going to make so much money. Like, the other one I heard around is like Dallas is going to just basically break the bank to bring him in there to like fix their defense, which I think is entirely reasonable. But that's the type of thing you're talking about, is a ton of money, a ton of titles. Like, he will be the highest paid assistant coach in the NFL, I think, when this is all said and done. And we're talking a cycle with some really good offensive minds coming to the forefront here too. So like, that's how valuable he's going to be. And again, like, would he make this team significantly better? Yes, but it's not just, he's not just looking at Washington. He's looking at head coaching positions. He's looking at, if he's going to move, right, people that have fired their defensive coordinators, for example, like, there will be plenty of opportunities, and he can be very selective about where he wants to go. And like you said, at the moment, there is a lot of work that needs to be done on that side of the football. And like, does he want to be a part of that? Money talks, but again, like, I think there's probably better opportunities for him.
All right, let's talk about the Commanders offense to end the season against the Eagles. So Bill did get 13 carries against a really good stout defense, just 29 yards, 2.2 a pop, crashes back down to earth, long of 8. So early in the game, when I rewatched his carries, what I was looking for was what you talked about, which is like, you know, maybe when it wasn't going as well, the one thing he could clean up or help himself with is, hey, just take the three. You know, let's take the layups kind of thing, and not try to do something else and go minus one or zero or whatever. I thought early in the game, especially, he did that. He just kind of rammed it up in there, got what was there. You know, if he backpedaled a little bit in traffic, you know, pushed the pile. How did you feel like he did? There just wasn't a lot of running room, I didn't think.
Yeah, not a lot of running room. And there's certain times where, like, I see runs, and I've been coached, you know, in the environment I've been coached in, I've been learned it in a very specific way. And so sometimes I'm like, why is the back not pressing it here and then cutting? Why are they not winding this back? But I don't know how they're coaching it. So there are times where I kind of want to nitpick and whatever. But I think overall, to your point, like, there wasn't a lot of running room. There's not a ton of air. And to keep the offense on schedule, especially for that long, I think it was the first drive of the game that they had where it was very, very long, or the second drive, where they, a lot of that is obviously Josh Johnson scrambling, but just the running backs keeping them on schedule. I think the other thing too is like, you really like styles make fights a little bit. And so while I think Bill Kroski Merritt did a great job, I think this was a C-Rod game all the way. Whenever it gets a little bit murky or a little bit muddy, there's not a ton of space. Like that dude, his forward lean just maximizes that offensive line. So anytime you play Philly, like I'm probably putting C-Rod in there and letting him turn out 4 yards a pop, basically. Because again, that's the kind of runner that he is. And again, kind of tenderize that meat to put Bill in. So again, I do think stylistically, like I don't think this detracts from anything Bill's done this season. I just think when it's time to run the football downhill, it's got to be C-Rod versus teams that are fast sideline to sideline the way Philadelphia is.
It's hard for me to spend a lot of time kind of evaluating, analyzing, you know, some of the other guys like Terry McLaurin, who had a good game, because they're playing against literal second and third string players. It was like a preseason game where you're out there as ones against backups. Yeah. But Terry certainly did some good things, drew some penalties, 4 for 57, finished strong. Let me ask you about this guy real quick. Deebo Samuel ends up with 2 catches for 20 yards. I think they both came first series, actually. A couple of screens to him to get him going.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Where are you on your interest in bringing Deebo back going into the offseason?
So this is maybe the most compelling question to me. Like the Daron Payne, like I'm like in the emphatic, like, yes, like bring him back. If you got to rework the contract, rework it. But I think you want that player back. Deebo, I'm a little bit more uncertain of. I think it really depends on what the market is. Like I think when you see him at his best, which is the Dallas game a couple weeks ago, there's no doubt you want that guy in the building. Like he's physical, he's tough, he's a hard tackle, he plays hard. He brings this explosive juice to the offense that's fantastic. So, like, get that guy here, right? But if he's going to want $25 million, like, I'm not in on that. You know what I'm saying? If he's in the $12 to $15 million range, yeah, we can have a conversation about that. Because, I think the way he plays, his age, the injury history, all that stuff kind of stacks against you and says, like, it's not a great bet because of where he's at in his career. But when you just watch, the best of him is 1,000% worth it, man. Like there are very few players that I still get like juiced up every time they touch the football, and he's one of them. Like I think about the reverse that he had versus Dallas, the dig that he caught versus Dallas, where he is running with like ill intent in his heart, and there's something so beautifully poetic about that, and it gets me so fired up. So like I love it, but again, like there are other things here that are going to factor in, like age, injury history, the weight issue at the beginning of the offseason, usage, like all those things, and what is the dollar amount that you feel comfortable paying for that?
Yeah, I think you only get to allocate so many funds at each position. And so I would probably be looking for someone on the other side of Terry that could stretch the field with speed vertically and open some things up underneath for McLaurin, maybe as a better complementary piece, especially if you're going away from this Kingsbury operation and the screen game and the horizontal game and some of the stuff, you know, that they did that felt like it fit Deebo really well. So I asked you last segment for, you know, a stand on the table guy to bring back that you think in the right light, when you kind of squint, you could see it working out really well down the road on offense. My guy would be Treylon Burks. He showed enough. I'm intrigued. He's huge. He's physical at the catch point. Like, I don't know if he's ever going to max out to be a worthwhile first round pick that the Titans took, but this is a guy that should be on an NFL roster. Do you have a guy on the offensive side that you would say that about? Like, hey, no matter what happens this offseason, I'd like to see him still get a seat at the table next year.
Yeah, so Treylon Burks is a great call out. I mean, he's definitely been the most kind of fun, flashy, dynamic of the new additions we've seen, especially at the skills position spot. The guy I'm going to call attention to is Chris Paul. Now, I don't know if Chris Paul needs to be the starting left guard next year, but I think he's played well enough to be at least the swing interior player. Like, I think that's something that I would really look at. Like, I thought at points this year, like, he kind of, I thought as the year went on, he kind of took a little bit of a dip in terms of production and consistency, which is something that often happens with guys that are starting for the first time. But I think the highs that he brings, especially with Laramie in the game, like Laramie, I don't know if it's Laramie's experience or his communication with Chris, but that really made Chris a significantly better football player. So if you get that version of Chris playing next to Laramie Tunsil, like I think it's an opportunity to kind of bring him in and compete with Brandon Coleman. Like maybe you draft somebody in the later round, like let's get a three-way competition there. Cause I do think like as much as I like Allegretti, as much as I like Wiley, they're probably going to move in a different direction. But like, yeah, bring Chris Paul back, let him compete and bring another young piece in there to really add an element to that offensive line.
Yeah, and they're going to have to pay Laramie Tunsil, which Adam Peters said in the end of year presser, you know, they look forward to doing effectively. I mean, he basically said they want to get something done and they want to get it done sooner rather than later. All right, we're going to give you multiple episodes a week. We'll be breaking down each position group. We'll obviously have reaction pods as significant news breaks as well. So make sure you subscribe, rate, review, keep us in your feed so that you know when you get a new episode dropping on Take Command. For our producer, Evan O'Brien, and for Logan, I'm Grant, saying so long. Thanks for checking us out.